Publishing Talk, the podcast about the book industry. I'm David Wilk, your host, and today I'm interviewing Jason Allen Ashlock, who's the founder of a new literary agency called Movable Type Literary Group. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, David, for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So, I think you started the agency fairly recently, and I was thinking that maybe you could talk a little bit about what Movable Type is, how you came to start it, kind of on the assumption that a number of people that might be listening will not have heard of this or of what you're doing. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, certainly. My pleasure. Thanks again for having me on. We launched the Movable Type in January of 2009, so it hasn't been very long at all. The end of January, we made our first rounds with editors and submissions, so it's been about 14, 15 months now. And it's been such an exciting year. Certainly, 2009 was a year of lots of uncertainty and trepidation and anxiety for a lot of people, and certainly we shared in that. But it was also a really amazing year for optimism, for innovation, and for a lot of people looking to turn the page and ask what's next.
Well,
and we're attempting to be part of that answer. We certainly don't have a full answer to that question, but we think from an agenting perspective, we have some good ideas as to what roles agents can play in a new publishing economy. And we're excited to share some of those ideas with anybody willing to listen.
Well, so in the old publishing economy, the role of the agent is you're in one of the levels of filtration. You know, if we look at the, as often when I talk to writers, I kind of build this pyramid where you have just thousands and thousands of people writing books. Some filtration process has to occur. And, of course, in many ways, now agents have become the first level of filtration, where typically over the last, say, 10 or 15 years, what you see is agents receiving thousands and thousands of submissions from aspiring authors or even accomplished authors looking to reach publishers who, and in many cases, publishers won't talk to authors, will only talk to agents. And that kind of ecosystem has developed over time. How do you see your role as an agent as being either the same or different? What does an agent do today that is different from what an agent did, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
I think certainly everyone agrees that role of filtration is a vital role for an agent to play, and now a very necessary one. Certainly some smaller presses and more niche presses can function a little differently, but for the larger mid-sized presses, there is, I think, has been for a long time a wonderful relationship between the agents and the editorial staff who are looking to acquire good books, that our job is to discover that new talent, to foster it, and to introduce that talent to the right publishing house. That's a marvelous role for an agent to play. And despite how tiring it is sometimes, that search and the constantly being approached by new writers, it's also very invigorating and full of a lot of possibility. But it seems clear to me that when the traditional paradigm of agenting, the agent's role has been seem to be, I think, a pretty limited capacity. The role is to bring that talent to the publisher and then to negotiate rights on behalf of the author. And then really after that, to somewhat serve as the author's accountant for the rest of time, to get those royalty statements and pay the checks. And hopefully if an agent is active and they are, continuing to consider possible ways to exploit that author's work in subsidiary markets or foreign markets. But generally the role of the agent has been very deal-centered. The role has been to sell that work to a publisher and to negotiate the contract. And it seems to me that as we have all of these discussions about how we're going to find readers and how we're going to build audiences and how in the noise and clutter of culture we're going to find receptive readership for deserving work, an agent is well positioned to serve in a capacity far beyond the negotiation table. But to serve really as the linchpin personality, the individual who brings to the table the right team and the right resources to help every author find their ideal audience. the perspective, the sort of the thesis we work under is that if we choose to represent an author, it's because we believe that author has an audience. And if a publishing house chooses to publish that author and it fails in the marketplace, it's not because we were wrong. That may be a haughty thing to say, but it's not because that writer doesn't have an audience. It's because that the audience that wanted that author's work through the noise and clutter of culture could not find it. But an agent being so close to the work, being so deeply and thickly involved these days in some editorial rewrites and in knowing exactly what the author intends and being intimately involved in those discussions, is well positioned to be the matchmaker. Find the publicity firm, find the digital management team, find the website developer, find the online community developer, find the speaking bureau, find the licensing team, and build a SWAT team of sorts to surround every book and create a web of support and make sure that the audience that right now is would love a book like this has a chance to discover it.
So do you feel like, I mean, in that model makes sense to me, what it kind of describes is the author and the agent acting as a kind of a new empowerment agency to drive the author's work into a marketplace where you can find the audience that you're talking about, and it's sort of in a sense filling a void perhaps that may exist in the way things are working today. So
I like the word you used of empowerment. I think that's exactly right. That many authors probably began the creative process of wanting to be authors because they love the idea of creation, of expressing themselves. But it's unlikely that many of them began the process wanting to be their own self-promoters and their own marketers and their own publicists. But of course, what we all know now is a given, and that is that every author has to be their own best promoter. And that doesn't mean it comes naturally to them, however. But what an agent is able to do is to bring some marketing savvy, some experience in the marketplace, some knowledge of how promotions work, because agents get to be creative in that way across a multiplicity of genres and so many books and be involved in so many discussions that what we come to know is very useful for each of our authors, but might not be something that the author intuitively understands at first or even cares about being involved in. And it's our job, I love that word, to empower them, to give them the tools and the team members and the resources necessary to help them find the readers that they're trying to reach.
Right. No, I think that makes sense that in the you know, if we see that authors increasingly are having to conceive themselves as businesses, as entrepreneurs, as speakers for their own work, a kind of self-contained entity that way, as you say, many authors, and I think most authors would agree, I don't think it's controversial to say, most authors are not marketers. And in many cases, they don't want to be marketers. They need a business person, someone who can help them do that. So what you're proposing essentially is that the agent, in a sense, becomes the business manager, marketing manager for the author. And then,
yes,
and the word you used was linchpin, you kind of act as a lever, perhaps, with the publishing entity. Now, of course, this leads to the next question about that, which I think you know, many other people than myself have thought of, and if the author is going to do more, if the author and agent are going to be in control of or directing, let's say, and not necessarily instructing everyone in what to do, but acting as the force to make sure that it happens, does that change the business relationship between author and publisher such that you might then start thinking about a different business deal with a publisher rather than the traditional one that has developed over many years where authors receive, you know, not an inconsequential number. It's a royalty is not a small number necessarily in the share of revenue that a publisher gets. But if the author is doing more of the work, if the author is doing the marketing or causing more of the marketing to occur and is therefore being responsible for more of the work that a publisher might otherwise have done, doesn't that imply that you should be talking about a different business deal?
Yes. The quick answer is yes, even though, of course, the answer is quite complicated. First, I should say, before I get really to answering directly your question, I think we all somewhat understand, and not in an insulting way at all, that publishers are not publicists. They have publicity departments, and they have marketing departments, and in some cases, they function very well for well-branded authors, for well-recognized individuals who are creating content regularly, who the advertisements are purchased on the sides of buses and inside the subways and maybe in a trailer before a movie for a new Twilight book or something like that. But for the majority of authors, the publisher really has a limited functionality as a publicist or as a marketer. There's really just very little done on their behalf. And this has been the cause of so much bitterness and frustration for so many authors over the years. That they feel like they're not supported by their house, and they feel like that nobody is working on for their good in the market. But I think what we're trying to say as an agency is that we need to accept that publishers are good at one thing that they do and stop believing that they can be really great publicists. They just simply can't. I know some great book publicists who work at publishing houses, but even the great ones are only going to have 4 to 6 weeks to give any attention to a new title. In that framework, they really can't be much more than what they are now, which is sending out books for reviews, trying to get some attention on perhaps online venues, et cetera. There's a very limited amount that they can do. So I just want to accept that and stop encouraging authors to be angry about that. Of course, I want to negotiate on behalf of my author to get as much support in-house as I can. But I think it's healthy for us to just understand what a publisher can do well and what right now, at least in the current paradigm, a publisher cannot do that well.
Well,
so that's why we have to extend beyond what's the resources available in-house. But that really is just set up for the real answer to your question, which is this. We've had a really great amount of success in the past year with smaller and mid-sized presses in negotiating a marketing dollar amount being placed into the publishing agreement. I don't think this will work with the big houses, and I'm not attempting it. But with some of the smaller, more niche-driven houses or even mid-sized houses that publish a lot of books every year but just are still independent and aren't part of the big publishing conglomerates, they've been remarkably excited and flexible when we have offered them a real package. They have paid independent publicists to come on board. They have given dollars towards digital marketing initiatives that we have brought to the table. Again, those presses are smaller, so they're a little bit more flexible, and so they're able to make decisions about where they can allot those funds in a way that the big houses can't. When it comes to the big houses, I don't think we're even close to being at a point yet where we can talk about a new royalty split based on the majority of authors' success. The big authors are doing that. Glenn Beck is doing it. Stephen King is doing it. These marvelous profit-sharing dynamics with their publishers. But for the average author, that's really still not possible. What we're offering is not the promise that we're going to be able to do anything game-changing like that with the big presses. But what we're hoping to offer is a more programmed, customized approach to each author that brings unique resources to the table that the publisher will probably not be that involved in. But what we're giving the author is the chance to really take control of their own career and to make a 5, a 10, a 20-year plan and to have the right team players to make that plan possible.
Well, so one of the things, you wrote an article, I think, in Publishing Perspectives back in January about collaboration in the publishing industry. And in a lot of ways, what you're talking about here seems to be in line with a kind of a different way of thinking about publishing, which is a collaborative between an author and an agent and a publisher, where the issue of marketing or connecting a reader or connecting books to readers is really addressed as a cooperative effort rather than, you know, the kind of the older, more linear way of looking at it was the author does the writing, the publisher takes care of everything else. What we see now is, you know, if the authors are expected to be more involved in their marketing and in the kind of connecting of author to book, reader to author, that it has to be looked at as a more collaborative process. And what you're saying, I think, is that what you're trying to build anyway is a model where authors and publishers rethink the roles that each of them will play in this process.
Yes, I think that's an accurate way of describing it. The linearity of the past is probably not entirely applicable any longer, where you know that plan of production, the author sits at one end, and then the finished book is at the other end, and everybody fills their neat slot. It likely won't be a very successful way of doing this in the future. And we think of that in two ways. First of all, we are attempting to encourage a kind of collaboration between publisher and author and independent marketers, whether they be, you know, digital managers or speaking bureaus, et cetera, but to bring in, you know, a variety of people into the conversation about what an author can become. But we're also thinking of it just in terms of our own client list. Within Movable Type, we're also really attempting to build a community of authors who lend one another as much support as possible for the advancement of one another's careers. One thing that's always surprised me about agencies is that each author really exists as an island in and of themselves inside each agency. Most authors within an agency don't know one another, and they might randomly meet one another at a conference. The exception would be, I think, some genre agents who publish a lot of romance or a lot of mystery and really are doing wonderful jobs of building community among their clients. But for the most part, everyone really is fairly isolated as an individual being represented by a firm. What we're looking to do is to suggest that there are ways for all of our authors to support one another, that they likely share readerships and they share audiences, they share interests, they have platforms on the web or in their careers on which they could promote not only themselves but also some of their fellow clients, their colleagues in the Movable Type community. So just recently we've had a lot of fun with this. We had a book come out just last week from Alex McCord and Simon Van Kempen, stars on Bravo's The Real Housewives of New York City. And they're going on a book tour across the country. They went to L.A., and when they were in L.A., we introduced them to another one of our clients named Robert Rave, who had a book out last summer with St. Martin's and another book out this coming summer with St. Martin's. He has a website called youvebeenwaxed.com, which is a forum for men and women to share stories about waxing salons, which is a really remarkable community of people telling really funny stories about their experiences there. And so they interviewed Alex and Simon. They shared their stories about waxing and their preferences for that type of indulgence. And so Robert has that up on his website, and Alex and Simon are now promoting Robert, and Robert's promoting Alex and Simon. Alex and Simon went down to Florida just yesterday, and they met with another one of our authors named Bridget Walters, who's an astrologist, formerly with Elle and People, Life and Style, and she now has a book with Penguin that we sold. Those two people share audiences. Alex and Simon's readerships are most likely Elle readers and astrology readers, so now they're cross-promoting with each other. It just seems to us that not only big picture, publisher, author, marketer, yes, there's a lot of collaboration that needs to happen there, but if any agency wants to just experiment with the idea of collaboration, the best place to start is to look at the client list and ask, who here shares an audience? Who shares a readership? And how can we leverage one person's influence to attract and influence another person's readership?
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought of that, but it is a kind of extension of the notion of how the web works as a marketing environment, where it's a lot of it is about mutuality, and you know, you link to me, I link to you.
That's right. We
share our audiences. Now, of course, it doesn't work always if the audiences are not in some way sympathetic.
Of course,
you know, in some way making sense. making sense, but it obviously is an interesting. And of course, that means your clientele would have to be, in some ways, meaningfully collected. And is that something that you do on purpose? Or, I mean, do you kind of think about, when you're thinking about clients and who you want to represent and who you want to work with, are you thinking about how they would fit in with the group of clients that you already have?
Yes, absolutely. That's on our minds. I consider myself a generalist, only because I'm curious about a lot of things, and I tend to find authors that are various in their interests and in the topics they write about. But it is an effort that we put forth to ask ourselves whenever we're considering representing someone, what role might they play as a not just what can they bring in terms of, you know, are they famous? Do they have a big platform? Can we exploit that? Can we use that? But authentically, are they writing about something? Or are they reaching a particular group of people that would benefit the whole? And then conversely, or do we have anything that we could bring to bear for their future success? Do we already have things in place that might benefit them? So it certainly is on our minds, but there's also that openness to, of course, to serendipity. I mean, really at the bottom of it, we are like any agents. We're looking for talented people whose works we can sell, and that is the first benchmark. But if you gather together a group of people who are talented, whose works are saleable, there will be serendipitous moments of overlap. So we try not to over-program it, but to be open to the connections.
And so because you've now kind of changed the role of the agent, does this mean that you spend a lot of time talking to PR people, working the web, you know, learning how to do marketing, or do you still kind of act as a more general contractor person where you hire people to do those things for you rather than take on that work yourself? In other words, does the agent really is still acting as the lever rather than as the doer for all of these things?
I think it's the latter. I think it is the agent acting as the organizer and the contractor. I love the analogy, bringing all the people with the right expertise to the property and letting them contribute to the house, you know, whatever their talents and whatever field they work in. But a necessary extension of that and keeping all those people organized and bringing all those players in together in collaboration is that, yes, I feel like I've gotten a marvelous education this past year in vetting all these publicists that I met with, choosing whether or not we were going to work out strategic partnerships with them, or meeting all these people who are social media gurus these days and trying to pick the ones that we thought really were doing something innovative and attentive and exceptional. So I feel like I've learned a lot about each of it, and I do find myself weekly engaging in it in some form, but never really taking the lead. I feel like my job is more team building than actually engaging in the nuts and bolts of the digital management campaign or the social media campaign or the publicity campaign. I like to be involved in all of it, but I think the agent is to step back, see the big picture, and encourage people to fill the slots that they can best do their best work in. But I'd like to address something that was implicit in that question, and that is who pays for all of this, which is the question that everybody brings to the table. The real answer to that question is who pays for all these outside people, the publicists and the marketers? The answer really is everybody. We've worked out agreements with our strategic partnerships that the rates that they charge are lower than they would be for a random client that they were given by referral by somebody else. So partly they're subsidizing it by having the opportunity to work in something new and exciting. Partly the author is subsidizing it by committing a portion of their advance to their own career. We encourage all of our authors to look at the money they've been given. We sit down with them, and we make a financial plan on what they need to reinvest to encourage this book's success. And then sometimes we pay for it by deferring the 15% that we get from a publishing deal to a later date. You know, advances are paid out often in 3 or 4 installments. We, in select occasions, and we'll continue to do so on select occasions, have not taken our 15% on the first couple of payments, but we will take it on the latter couple of payments to free up that money on the front end for the author to invest in something that can really guarantee the success of their book. And then on occasion, the publishers pay for it, as I was talking about earlier. We've had some great success with some publishers being willing to fund some independent publicists who could target the markets well. So it's not ideal. We would love for the publishers to come to the table with more money and for the big publishers to be willing to think a little more outside the box with this. But for the time being, we feel like we've got enough people contributing in their own way to subsidizing this effort that the burden doesn't fall on any one party.
Well, that sort of leads me to the last question I'm going to have time to ask you about, and that is, does this, and would you predict this for the future, that what it implies is that there could be a different way of financing books where the publisher or the author and the agent perhaps raise the money for the publication of the book, and you know, maybe in some way, not necessarily become the publisher, but become the driver behind the publication of the book. You know, possibly the way a play gets financed. You know, where the producer has to go out and sell shares in it, and then the investors become married to the deal rather than, you know, a public, you know, and I guess the implication would be instead of a publisher, you'd raise the money with a group of investors and essentially fund the publication of the book. I mean, that does seem like a possible approach that is a almost an evolutionary development from the model that you're proposing.
You know, I had not taken I have not taken it that far, but I don't disagree. I think speaking as economic evolution, as you put it, I think there's no reason to believe that that kind of thing won't happen. It's already certainly, you know, happening in small ways, in maybe not in that full manifestation, but in lesser ways, which I know this past year we've brought people to the table to, you know, we had a wonderful author with a wonderful story, but really needed a collaborator, a ghostwriter, and couldn't pay for that ghostwriter. So we brought in some, basically some venture capitalists, for lack of a better word, who put up to bring in that ghostwriter, pay her for her work. We sold the book, and now everybody involved in that process will make money, both the subject of the book, the ghostwriter, and the venture capitalist, so to speak, who brought the money to the table. So I think it's already happening in some ways like that, but as far as a full manner of doing publishing, I hadn't thought about it, but it is pretty exciting to think about. I'll agree.
Well, it certainly makes sense that it'll be really interesting to see. I'm going to, you know, definitely be interested in seeing how your business evolves, and because I think you're on to something that's very interesting. So thank you, Jason, for talking to me today. This has been Publishing Talk, the podcast about the book industry. I'm David Wilk, and I've been talking to Jason Allen Ashlock from The Movable Type. Where is it, The Movable Type or just Movable Type?
Just, yes. Movable Type Literary Group.
There you go. Sorry about miscasting the name of your company, but I really appreciate talking to you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.